This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We bring in our good friend who joins us every Thursday. His name is Andrew Siciliano. He is from the NFL Network. And deep down, we all know that he is a Browns fan. And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Andrew.
I don't know if it's deep down. Hi, guys.
Well, I just want to.
I'm trying to make it so it's like this little thing that maybe just Clevelanders think we know.
Oh, I mean, I don't like wear pom poms. You know,
no,
I don't like,
but it puts you in the inside crowd. We're trying to make you like we want people to watch you and go, that guy likes the Browns.
He's one of us.
He is one of us.
I was raised a Browns fan. Yes,
he gets us. Yeah. He understands us. Let's digress. First of all, your thoughts on. The Browns' Week 1 performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's broad.
Thank you.
My thoughts on their Week 1.
I want to give you all kinds of angles to go. I'm not a narrow question guy to open things.
No.
Then I'll reel you into what I really want to know. So
keep it open ended.
That's right.
It was invigorating and frustrating and demoralizing and encouraging and. Anger-inducing, and it was a kaleidoscope of emotions.
That is so deep.
Yeah.
That is so
deep. How
about
that?
That's pretty good.
It's well done.
I mean, it. If anyone has ever sat on the couch before and just let everything out, it was the broad spectrum, good and bad.
Tyrod's not going to the Hall of Fame, but he's going to be better, right? Just tell me. Please.
Well, see, here's my issue. Here's my issue. I have no doubt in my mind that despite the weather, and let's not downplay the weather, it was bad. You guys were there. I was not.
I was.
Right?
Yes.
Despite the weather, I am very confident that Baker Mayfield would have connected on at least a couple of those downfield throws that Tyrod did not connect on. That said, there would have been more sacks with Baker Mayfield because while he might be elusive, he would have not been able to turn the negative plays that Taylor did into positive plays a couple of times. So what do you do? If your offensive line is a sieve, you know, where's your answer? Tyrod did not play well. Tyrod had no time.
All right.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Look, you play an undrafted rookie free agent at left tackle. That's they know more about football than I do. That one's a head scratcher to me.
Were you surprised that Josh Gordon started the game?
I think this is the biggest mound of nothing ever.
Really?
Well, look, it's obviously a disconnect between the coach and the offensive coordinator. It's a major disconnect. But, I mean... if I had a dollar for every time I've had an NFL head coach the last couple of years, when you ask him, is so-and-so going to start, they go, yeah, well, I mean, maybe. I mean, it depends what we come out at. I mean, maybe we come out at nickel, like if they're talking about a defensive back, you know?
Yeah, but that was strategic.
Maybe we come out in three tight ends.
But that was strategic. This was punishment, we think.
I mean, punishment for what? Needing more time to get his life together?
Well, no, it's saying that other guys had worked hard in camp and that they deserve the opportunity to start. I mean,
well,
he was pretty vehement about it.
But hold on. It's not that are we punishing Josh Gordon or are we rewarding others? Those are two very different things.
Well, I mean, look, I think the concern comes when your head coach doesn't know what's going on a play that they've had 8 months to consider.
Yes, that's the disconnect.
Yes.
That's the disconnect. Yes, and if he somehow thinks it was, he was subversion, you know, that someone is trying to do him wrong by putting Josh Gordon out there. I mean, honestly, why must Josh Gordon be on the bench? Like, why was he so adamant to begin with?
I agree with you on that.
Question.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, But to me, it's a bit of a red herring here. I'd be more concerned with how do you turn the ball over? How do you force six turnovers and lose? How do you not get a first down in overtime? And how Desmond Harrison may have a bright future. Listen, we saw him on the All-Star circuit this year, I believe, at the East-West Shrine Game. Mm-hmm. Although the East-West and the Senior Bowl kind of melt into one. You're on the road for 12 days and trying to learn 300 college players. But, you know, he has all the talent in the world. He just, you know, didn't play football, and obviously his life took a couple of bad turns off the field. I don't doubt that he has a bright future. He has the talent, but to put him out there, you know, week number one against that pass rush, that to me, the whole game comes down to that. And maybe I'm looking at it through a very narrow lens. It's also disconcerting that the kick is blocked at the end by T.J. Watt going through indisputably your best offensive lineman.
Isn't that
right?
Sweet?
Yeah. Am I right? It was Joel Bitonio who was put on roller skates there, unfortunately.
All that said, you end up with a tie, and now you go to New Orleans in a game that, you know, if you're playing the schedule game, you're putting an L next to that. But, Andrew, I expressed yesterday that I have some confidence that this team is now to the stage where they can and will compete every week. Doesn't mean
Absolutely.
A win.
Absolutely. And you know what? Let me go back through all the I just turned total fan there, going, you know, with the day and the days after anxiety, looking back how they should have won the game. Well, let's spin it positively. Myles Garrett was fantastic. Denzel Ward was fantastic. They did force six turnovers. They didn't run the ball consistently, but they still made some plays. Jarvis Landry, over 100 yards. There is a lot positive from that game. And historically, you guys, I'm sure, have looked at these numbers this week. They have done well in New Orleans. I don't know if Rob Ryan's going to, you know, play some junk defense and turn over Drew Brees a bunch of times, or Reggie Hodges is going to run for 70 yards on a fake. But they have done good things down there. And New Orleans has an issue in September. I mean, they opened 0 and whatever it was last year. They've now lost five consecutive openers. I thought they had fixed the defense, or at least gotten it to the middle of the pack, which is where it was last year. They have some issues. Now, the Saints team that I saw in person twice this summer, once for a game and another time for training camp, is a very, very, very deep team. They're good. I don't think they're going to give up 48 points a week. This is a very tough game for the Browns. But like you said, I do have confidence that this is not a pushover team anymore.
What do you think of the play calling last week, and what do you expect to be different in week two?
Look, Todd Haley is what we thought he was, which is a guy that is never afraid to take a shot, right? I mean, he wants to stretch the field. He is all for throwing it on third and one and not just dinking and dunking. I mean, hitting someone deep on third and one. I would have loved to, if when they got to overtime, not take as many shots and try to kill some clock and get some first downs, but he was trying to win the game. So that's who you signed up for, and that's what you are going to get. But I would think that after some of the play callers in the past, that would be a welcome change.
Andrew Siciliano joining us, NFL Network. Take a look around the league. What stunned you? Did Sam Darnold playing well stun you? Did Detroit looking as bad as they looked stun you? Did the Saints defense stun you?
Before we get to that, let me go back one thing. The Sean Payton, Greg Williams storyline this
week. Yeah, I was curious.
So don't overlook that.
Really?
Still ill will, huh?
Don't overlook that. Yeah, and don't overlook Sean Payton and his knack for holding a grudge when it comes to the way he manages a game against an opponent. Let's just put it that way.
Do you think they got that out of their system when the Saints played the Rams before? I mean, I'm asking you. You'd know better on that.
Oh, that was certainly a factor that day.
Yeah.
I don't think he lets things pass, though. I don't think he gets anything out of his system.
Either guy?
I don't know about Greg.
Okay.
I don't know about Greg, but this one means something to both. I think we could agree on that.
That's interesting, because we talked to John DeShazier from Saints.com And he was like, "Ah, oh, that just kind of seems to be over." But Jeff and I were sitting here thinking, oh, "I don't know, that's over. No way."
That's hysterical.
Golly.
There's a good line for you.
Yeah, there is a good line. So did anything stun you around the league?
The Saints giving up 48. I mean, that if you had the Saints and the Jets each pushing 50, raise your hand. You're a liar. You didn't. I mean, those were certainly surprising. What else was surprising to me? I mean, nothing in that Bills-Baltimore game was surprising. I think the Bills might be the first team to ever go into a season knowing that they would start a different quarterback week two than week one, but not admit it because they needed, you know, to get week one just over with. What else surprised me? You know what? It didn't surprise me that the Chargers just kind of fell apart. What did surprise me is how deadly, effective, and efficient Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and that whole Chiefs offense looked. I am on the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon, but maybe not as much as some others. I just thought that a guy with only one start under his belt, it would take time, and that the Chiefs were making a very bold and risky move by taking a quarterback with whom they had won 50 games over the last 5 years and just assuming that they'd be right back at playoff level. Well, through one game, they look entirely right and justified. Granted, it is only one game. The Giants scored 15 points per game last year. Their offense was anemic. They get Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley, and they scored exactly 15 points in game number one. So I do think, while I'm not writing Eli off, that after Darnold played as well as he did on Monday night, there are plenty of people in New York going, like about that Sam Darnold pick.
Andrew, let me ask you real quick. Browns have a chance? I got about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You like the Browns at all this weekend?
I do think they have a chance because, like you guys said, I think they're in every game this year. Would I be surprised if they won? Yes, sure. But I think we'd all be somewhat surprised. But I am highly encouraged by the way that defense played. And remember, no Mark Ingram in this game. The secondary will be tested. Drew Brees can be gotten to. I think it's a good game.
Thank you, Andrew. We always appreciate your time. You're a good friend of the show.
Love you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.